every now and then, you can catch it on the news, you can catch it through the internet, about surprise values. There was a story not too long ago that, and I lived in Arkansas for about 9 years, so someone found a diamond, a raw diamond in Arkansas, worth well over $50,000. So I looked it up on the internet. I didn't find that story, but I found the one that quite a while ago, someone found a diamond that was over 40 carats. Just by digging around. Well, I found a few more. This person found a poster. They thought it was interesting. It was their style. They bought it for $14.14. And then they got to checking it out. And they then sold it for $7,500 because it was a Picasso. Someone walked in. They were browsing. They were in like a Goodwill secondhand store kind of thing. They bought a series of... They wanted the picture frames, actually. They didn't want the artwork, and they were in the diamond pattern up on the wall. And they bought them, and there were several of them, each for $10. And then they found out that that collection was worth, and they sold it for $34,375. Another guy went to this pawn shop, and he found a watch. He recognized the label and the design. He bought it for $5.99. And it was valued and auctioned off for $35,000. The one I found interesting was a painting. And I saw a picture of the painting, and it wasn't much. It was by a Flemish master. I won't tell you his name. $190,000. He paid $3. There was a diamond ring, $13. He got a bargain. It was $455,000. Now, some of you are not interested in paintings and watches and things like that. How about a teapot? Teapot for $20. It was the first American manufactured porcelain by an immigrant, and it sold for $806,000. He bought for $20. Be careful what you get rid of, right? What you auction off. Paul is not talking about artwork, obviously. You know he's going to be talking about Jesus. He's not talking about, you know, selling something and making a profit and then doing something with that money. He's talking about our faith. He's talking about selling off Christ and holding on to something else. If you were to take an inventory of all that you have, all that you are, and in your life, and your faith is part of that, what do you value? It could be things like my grandfather's tie clasp. On the mantle in our house, I don't know if it's still there, is a coffee grinder. Yep, go ahead and says it's still there. It's kind of an interesting thing. You put the coffee beans on top, and you grind it, and then you open the drawer, and out's the ground coffee. And I have no idea how old that is. We have a wicker pram, and it's been in Gwen's family for quite a long time. It's from the 1800s, late 1800s. It's a baby buggy, but I guess it's valued. But what's interesting is how we sell off Christ and what we hold on to instead. Paul makes a contrast to the people at Philippi. The warning is, Don't sell off Christ as if he's cheap. And so here again, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. That says it all, doesn't it? He would give up everything as loss. He would give up everything. Christ, everything. And he would give this up in a heartbeat. Now, what's over here in this column? Well, if you remember, Paul talks about his credentials, how he is the Hebrews, and all of that. He does that in another place, not right here in this chapter. But you have this heritage that he is a part of. You have this education that he has received. You have his rituals that he used to follow. You have all of this, and he's willing to give up that. And he basically calls it a righteousness of his own. People hold on to all kinds of things in the place of Jesus. What do you think the list would include? One of the most obvious I find in our world today is just our thinking. How many of you have ever made up your mind before you got all the facts? You know, heard the whole story, put all the data together, but you are convicted that you will not believe anybody else. You know what you know, how you know it. That's it. And your mind is made up. And so I think one of the common challenges for us is we hold on to our own thinking. And when we do that and we apply that to scriptures, man, do we get in trouble. An example of that goes all the way back to the beginning. In the garden, God had said, don't. Simplify, right? Don't what? Well, don't eat the fruit of that tree. That's, you know, that was the only no that they got to hear. Everything else was be fruitful and multiply, tend the garden, take care of things, you know, have a great life. And then the serpent, the devil, comes. And he lies, surely you won't die. And then the next phrase in scriptures is, and they looked at the fruit and it looked good to eat. Human thinking. I mean, how many of you would pick up a king cobra because it looked good to play with? You know. Or how many of us would put our arm into a wood chopper thinking, oh, that sounds wonderful. I wonder what that feels like. You know, there are things in our thinking that are really screwy. I don't know about when you were growing up, but my parents often asked, what were you thinking? And the implication was, I wasn't. We hold on to our own thinking faster than we hold on to God. And Paul is reminding us, don't do that. The second thing that I think it especially applies to our culture, but it isn't new to humanity. It was especially relevant in the days of Paul, but it's called self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is the view that you keep the law, that you're really, by nature, a good person. You're not sure about everybody else, but you are sure about yourself. And self-righteousness is just that. Self-declaring yourself very righteous. Not just right, but righteous. That means holy. And by nature, good. And in Paul's day, self-righteousness was supported in evidence by the works that somebody did. And that would be the third one, works righteousness. Look at all the good I do. Do I make mistakes? Well, you know the universe. The answer is, well, nobody's perfect, right? That's the answer in the universe. But boy, do I do good works. And the scripture says, our works are nothing. It tells us all fall short of the glory of God. And so Paul reminds us, don't hold on to your thinking. Don't hold on to your self-righteousness. Don't hold on to your works righteousness. In fact, when you compare the value of what that gets you, which is only trouble, compared to what Christ gives you, there's no comparison. And so again, Paul counts everything of this world as nothing compared to that which he receives through Jesus Christ, who died for us, who rose for us, in whom we are united in our baptism and by in his death and resurrection, who prepares a place for us. There is nothing, no one of greater value than Jesus. You can be the wealthiest person in the world. You can be the wealthiest person in the United States. And ultimately, everyone stands before the judgment of God. And if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you end up with nothing. It is gone. So here in Lent, we celebrate, not that we're perfect, not that our thinking is so awesome, not that our works are mighty. We celebrate that Christ did it for us. He fulfilled the law. He served God obediently, perfectly, and he took our place. The suffering that we deserved for selling him off cheaply. To become popular with the group, we'll laugh at the stupidest, cruelest, rudest, nastiest stuff to fit in. You know, we will party because we think we deserve it, and we will become smashed off our keister. We will do all kinds of stuff unworthy of people of God, and yet here we are. It is in Christ that we live. It is in Christ that we have value. It is in Christ we have our identity as brothers and sisters of Jesus. It is in Christ we have our hope. And the question put to us in the scriptures is, do you really want to sell that off? Do you really want to give it away? Or do we have our eyes of faith, our hearts opened, our minds renewed, that we hold on to Jesus Christ like nothing else? He is our life jacket if we were in the ocean. I mean, who's going to give that away? He is our breath when we need air. He is our everything. And we are reminded that in our world today, yes, people find great treasures. In fact, there is a section in the parables about a woman who looks for a coin and so forth, a guy who finds pearls and sells all he has. And there is that. But this is, what are we holding on to and what are we letting go of? And the encouragement and the hope and the promise is, hold on to Jesus and you will have all you need. In the name of Christ, amen.